Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shabbos Daf Kuf Mem Tes. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. We begin today's shiur at the top of Daf Kuf Mem Tes. Before we begin the Gemara, we glance at the side where we read, Ein Korin Rishimos Orchin Min Haksav. One is not to read lists of invited guests from a prepared written list. Hagemara noisenes shnei hesberim v'shoelas maibinai. The Gemara will give two explanations with regard to this prohibition and ask what is the difference between the explanations. As we continue in the Gemara, you'll notice a series of diamonds, and on the side under our structural note, we feature a diamond, and we've written Arba Nisyonos Lahashiv L'She'ela Mai Binayu, four attempts of the Gemara to answer the question of what is the difference between the two reasons that we will feature. So we now turn to the Gemara, bearing in mind that the Mishnah had taught. And just to glance back, you can see at the bottom of the previous Amud, the Mishnah, where it said, Moina Odom es Orchov es Parbrosov Mipiv Avolo Min Haksav. One can count the number of guests and the different delicacies that he has prepared for his guests if he does so orally, but not from a prepared list. So, the Gemara, my time off. Why not? Why is there this objection in the Mishnah of counting from a written list? Number one, Rav Bevi Omar Gzera Shema Yimchok. There is a fear that a person will look at the list, be aware of how much food he's prepared, and be afraid that he hasn't prepared enough for all the people on the list. He'll then come to erase one of the names or a couple of the names so that the butler who sent out to summon the guests to actually invite them won't invite those people. So he'll by erasing them, so he'll save on the portions and have enough food for the people, the remaining people. So in very short, the fear is that a person might come to erase. Abaye number two, Omar Gzera Shema Yikra B'Shtari Hedyotos. If a person gets used to reading from lists of guests, he might come to read Shtari Hedyos documents, common business-type documents, and on Shabbos one is not to engage in reading such things. Shtorei Hedyotos. My Binai, what is the difference between these two explanations? The first explanation, once again, is a person might come to erase, and the second explanation is by reading these things, these lists, you might come to read things that are actually forbidden. So, my binai, what is the difference? Ika binai, note the abbreviated expression we've written in above, what it is. Ika binai, de kosav akoisel umidli. The list is written on a wall, and umidli means and high up on a wall. Now, the fact that it's high up means it's hard to get to it to erase. Lamandomer shema yimchok lo chashinon, according to Rav Bevi, whose concern was that you might come to erase. Here, you won't come to erase. You could read from a list that's written high up on a wall. But according to Abaye, that you might come to read other kinds of documents that are actually forbidden. So if you read from the wall, you might come to read other documents. The Gemara asks, Ulamand Omar Shemo Yimchok. Before we go further, we should note on the side we have an explanation for the marking that you see. You see the double underline. So on the side, we feature the following. Ulamad Omar. Kushos al oso mad Omar. Shagamora choshva shalafihem ein koshi. As we go on each stage, so there is this feeling that according to one of the two reasons, so given the case that we feature in the diamond, that according to one of the two opinions, things are okay. Well, each time in the Gemara, we're going to ask on, is that really so? That the supposed okay reason, the okay opinion is really so okay. So here we go. Ulaman Yomar Shemo Yimchok, according to Rav Beimai, that was worried about erasing, Nechush Shemo Yikra, is that not something to worry about? That a person might come to read from Shtori Hedyotos? So that even according to Rav Beimai, if the list of guests is written high up on the wall, there should still be reason for concern, and we should prohibit that. Visu, and furthermore, we should note, before going further, note we're in the middle of a long question. It takes a few lines to develop this, and we've marked it accordingly. Visu, l'shemo yimchok lo chayshinon. The fact that something is high up, does that alleviate our fears of a transgression? V'hatnan, we cite from a source we learned much earlier in this Masichta, where we are taught lo yikra li'or haner, one is not to read by candlelight on Shabbos. And the reason for that is that a person might come to fiddle with the candle, causing a Shabbos violation of burning, of Havora, or of Kibui, possibly. The Omar Rabo, and Rabo comments on this prohibition of reading by candlelight, afilu gavor shtei komos, even if the candle is two flights above where you are, afilu gavor shtei mardos, even if it's two mardos above you. Mardas is a stick with a prong on it with which one, let's say, motivates oxen in plowing. Motivates is, of course, a kindly word. Which one prods the animal to have him work. And it was a long stick, and it represents a certain height. So even if it's two mardos, it's long stick lengths above you, afilu asora batim ze al gabi ze lo yikro, even if it's 10 floors, 10 houses, one on top of the other, and there's a candle way up, don't use its light. So there's a prohibition, even if it would appear that there is no danger of your coming to fiddle with the candle. Nevertheless, there is a prohibition. Same thing with regard to the issue of eraser, that when they make a rule, the rule goes across the boards. As Rashi says, shelo tachlok, so as to make no distinctions or differences. We have a rule made across the boards, don't do something, like don't read by candlelight or don't read lists. Not reading by candlelight, you might come to extinct, you might come to fiddle with it, and even if it's not a reality, we still say that. Likewise, don't read from lists, you might come to erase, even if it's way up, and that's not really a reality, but it's a rule made across the boards. So, the example of the list written on a wall high up doesn't seem to show a difference between Rav Beimai and Abaye. Elo, Iko Binayo, the Gemara goes on, so what will be a case that shows us a difference between them? The Kosav Akosil Umitzi. The list is written on a wall and it's very low down. Leman de Omar Shemo Yimchok Chayshinon. According to Rav Beimai, who was worried about coming to a race, well, it's quite accessible, it's low down, so there is the fear of coming to a race. But according to Abaye, who was worried that you might come to read from other documents, if we allow you to read from a list of guests written very low on a wall, we're not worried you'll confuse that with reading documents. Guda b'shtara lo michlaf. Guda is a wall. Shtara is the document. People will not confuse. So that we can afford to allow you to read from the list written low down if my only concern were my coming to read other kinds of business documents. The Gemara asks, the same structure here, where we think that things would work out according to Abaye, is that really so? Ulamadom or Shema Yikra, Lechu Shema Yimchok. But is there not a room for concern that even though I won't confuse this low written list with other documents, but I might come to erase Elo Iko Binayu Dechayik Atavlo Vampinkis. A point of difference will be where you're dealing with a list that's not written in ink, but it's etched out on a tablet. Tavla and Pinkas are different types of tablets that you would etch something out. Lamada Meshema Yimchok Lo Chayshinon, according to the fear that you might come to erase. So there is no fear of your coming to erase. It's hard to erase something that's carved out or etched out, and by the time you start doing that, you'll remember that it's Shabbos and that you shouldn't be erasing things or eliminating things that are written. Lamado Marshemo Yikra, but according to the opinion of Abaye that I might come to read other kinds of documents, Chashinon, we are worried, and therefore we won't let you read from a carved out list either. Ulamad Omar Shemo Yimchok Lecho Shemo Yikra, like we saw before. And if things you are supposedly okay according to the Mand Omar Shemo Yimchok, but shouldn't he still be concerned that I might come to read from business documents? So that is a concern, isn't it? Now we have a bracketed section. If we skip the bracketed section, you can see the length just by glancing at the bracket length indicator, the to the side of the Gemara text. You skip down a few lines and you see Eloli Oilam. That's stage 4, and it really goes back to the one of the earlier answers, the first answer, Elolam de Kosav Akosel Umidli. And then we said, well, even with that first answer, we had a problem. The Kokashiloch de Rabo was not the issue of Rabo's din still a problem, whereby we did not see a difference between Rav Bevi and Abaye. So, come on, we'll go back to that when we return. We just wanted to show the structure of the Gemara, and that's the note that we have on the side where the star appears. So, Grayim Lashem Dilug, we note that these brackets are for skipping, lishmor al retzif hasha'elos u'tshuvos, so that we can maintain the continuity of the questions and answers. B'soicha magmor menasi l'tareitz avol l'lo hatzlocha. Okay, within the brackets, the Gemara may have an attempted answer, but it won't be successful. So now that we know the structure of the Gemara, we are in the middle of a question. We'll go back to where, at the end of the line, you see the double underlined Ulamanda Omar Shemo Yimchok, according to Rav Bevi, that said the fear of reading from lists is you might come to erase, and since we're dealing with a carved out list, that is not a fear, but Lechu Shemo Yikra, should you not be concerned, you might come to read from other kinds of written documents, business documents, shtari hedyotas that you're not allowed to read. So Chayekat Tavla, this answer number 3 doesn't really show us a difference. V'chitemo, you might try to say, we're starting with the brackets now, V'chitemo Tavlo Pinkas Bishtor Lo Michlif. Well, a person won't confuse the two, that an etched out tablet won't be confused with a shtar, so that even though we allow you to read from the etched out tablet, in fact there is no fear you'll come to read from the shtari hedyotos. Well, v'hatanya, but we see that distinction isn't really so. The following source, moina adam kama mibifnim v'kama mibachutz, this source is describing a person inviting guests where he will seat them, some indoors, some outdoors, portions, etc. So it says Moina Adam, I'm reading again, Moina Adam Kamu Mithun Kamu Chutz. A person counts how many people he will seat inside, how many outside, kama monos osi lo niach lifnehem, and how many portions he will place in front of them, miksav she'al gabi hakoisel, from a list that's written on a wall of a low, miksav she'al gabi tavla upinkis, but not from something etched out on a tablet. Hey, chidomi. Well, what are the circumstances? Ilemo de kosiv miksav. If we're talking about something in this source, we're talking about something written out in ink. Maishnohochu. Why does the source make a distinction? If one is forbidden, if the tablet or pinkus is forbidden, so the wall should be forbidden also. Or if the wall is allowed, so the pinkish and tablet should be allowed too. Elo lav the chayik. Rather, it must be that we're talking about that it's etched out. The kotoni, and it says in this source, miksav sha'al gabi hakoisel, avolo miksav sha'al gabi tavla upinkis. So we're dealing here in this source with something that's etched out, and nevertheless, there is a prohibition from reading a list of guests from something that's etched out on a tablet or a pinkus. And why is that? Because you'll come to confuse it with a shtar. So at this point, the question that we started remains. The question of Ulamado Amar Shemo Yimchok actually remains. So what is a point of difference between the explanation of Shemo of Gzera Shemo Yimchok and Gzera Shemo Yikra Bishtare Hedyotos? Elo li oilam, the Gemara continues, the Kosav Akoisel Umidli. The list is in fact written on a wall and it's high up. And according to Rav Bevai, that will be allowed. Because it's high up, you won't come to erase it. Now, the Hesber that we're giving is based on what you can see very clearly in the Rabbeinu Hananel on the third wide line under the Tosfos. So that, according to Rav Bevai, it will be allowed. Now, we tried this when we were at stage one in the Gemara. Udekal kashyaloch derabo. Well, you'll ask, like we asked before, but still, how can Rav Bevai say it's allowed? Is there not Rabbah's objection, which featured the case of the candle that was located a couple stories above? The Rabbah Tanoihi, as far as Rabbah is concerned, that is a machlokes Tanoim. And therefore, we don't have to, since Rabbah is a machlokes Tanoim, so the fear with regard to the candle is not according to all opinions, so that according to those that are lenient, we can explain Rav Bevai's allowance with regard to a list written high up on a wall. We should note structurally that as we start this diamond number four, all of the lines of the Gemara that follow represent all a one long answer. And that we're sticking with this approach of the list is written high up on a wall. And Rav Bevai will say Mutter, and Abaye will say Usser. So there we've got a difference. And with regard to Rav Bevai that says it's Mutter, we want to ask, what about Rabbah? With regard to the high candle, that is still objectionable. So to this, the Gemara answers, the Rabbah Tanoihi. Rabbah is himself a machlokes Tanoim. The Snan. The Sanya. Moino Odom es Orchov es Pabrosov mipiv avo lo min haksav. The Tanakama says that one can count his guests and delicacies orally, not from a written list. Rav Acha matir miksav she'al gabi hakoisel. Rav Acha allows from a list written on a wall. Hechidomi. What's the case? Ilemo dechsiv mitzah, that it's a list written low down on the wall. Lechu shemo yimchok. Is there not a fear that a person might come to erase? Elolav dekosiv umidli. It must be that the list written on the wall is high up. and Rav Acha is allowing you. Ushma min yod Rabo tanoihi. It must be then that Rabo's restriction, we'll call the across the board's restriction with regard to things high up, is not something everyone accepts. And that's what the Gemara means when he says Ushma min yod Rabo tanoihi. Rav Acha not accepting. Rav Acha being a Tano, not accepting Rabo's fear. Shma min yod, this is conclusive. Now we continue with a long point. Note the marking. Vehani tanoi kehani tanoi. The machlokes tanoim we read will parallel another machlokes tanoim, the sanya. Ein royin b'mara b'shabbos. Amara, Rashi has an interesting French word for this that might remind us of the English. He says mirror. That's what it is, a mirror. So the source says one is not to look in a mirror on Shabbos. Rameir Mati B'marakavu B'koysel. Rameir says you can use a mirror that's affixed to a wall. Before we go further, let's just glance at that Rashi Ein Royin B'mara, and he gives you the French mirror. Lefi Shalroya B'mara Eino Tzorach Alasakin Tzoros Rosh Zekano. A person who looks in a mirror, he's looking there, all he really needs to look in the mirror for is to adjust the hairs on his head or his beard. We're afraid that a person might see that he has a hair that's jutting out beyond the other hairs, and he'll come to cut them. And cutting hairs on Shabbos is a prohibited activity. So that explains the Tanakhama's objection. Rabbi Meir says you can use a mirror that you can look in a mirror that's affixed to a wall. My shnog vubukaisel, what's different? The Gemara continues, what's different about a mirror that is affixed to a wall? The adahochi, vahochi, midkar. And in the meantime, meaning until you get the scissors that you need to cut the straggly hair, you'll remember that it's Shabbos. Well, she'eno kavuanami adahochi bachi midkar. If the consideration of leniency is because of the time factor that you need to get the scissors will enable you to remember that it's Shabbos and you won't come to do a Shabbos violation. So even if it's not affixed to what, it's a portable mirror. So you'll notice a straggly hair, and you'll put down the mirror and then start walking to the drawer to pull out your scissors, and you'll remember, oh, it's Shabbos and I can't do this. So why does the source make a distinction? So the Gemara answers, Hocha b'mara shomateches askinon. We're talking here about a mirror that's made of metal. It's a metal mirror. It's metal, and as such, it has sharp edges. And you won't even need to go to get a scissors. The Omer of Nachman, Omer Rabba Baravua, Neima Omru Mara Shomateches Asura. Why has it been taught that a metal mirror is forbidden for use on Shabbos? Neshaadam osui lahashir. Lahashir is to lower or to cut off. Lahashir bon nimin hamidadol. It might use the mirror itself for cutting off straggly hairs. So if the mirror is, if we're talking here about a metal mirror and it's kavua b'koisel, so Rabbi Meir, we see, is lenient because since it's affixed to the wall, you won't be able to use it for that purpose, for cutting hairs. So we can then say, when you look back at the previous Machlokas Tanoim, the Tanakama was forbidding across the boards reading from lists, and Rav Acha made an exception for a list that's written on the wall. And we explained it was written high up where the chashash of coming to a race doesn't apply. So to over here, you have a machlokis tanoim where the Tanakama has an across the boards ruling prohibiting the use of a mirror. And Rabbi Meir is saying, well, where the chashash, where the fear of the Shabbos violation is not a reality, we don't make an across-the-boards prohibition. So I hope that we've successfully paralleled the two machlokes tanoim. The Gemara continues, Tonu Rabbanan. Before we continue in the Gemara, we glance at the side, and under our nosei, our topic heading, Ein Korin B'Ksav HaMahalach Tachas HaDuknos. One is not to read captions that appear underneath carvings and statues. Tonu Rabbanan, Ksav HaMahalach Tachas HaTzura V'Tachas HaDuknos, also the Grosso B'Shabbos. The ksav is the caption, that which is written underneath the tsura, the forms, and other duknos, other images. These captions explain what the background to that particular statue or image is. So one is not to read them on Shabbos. And Rashi explains, because you might come to read the forbidden documents, the Shtari Hedyotos. The Dukno Atzma, Af Bechol Osu Listakel Bo, as far as the image itself is concerned, the statue or the image itself, even during a weekday, one is prohibited of gazing upon it. Mishum Shinemar, because of what it says in the Pasuk, Al Tifnu El Ho Elilim. Now, this Pasuk literally means don't turn toward idols. However, we're not talking about idols right now, so what relevance is this pasuk? So the Gemara asks, my Talmudah, how does this pasuk teach us the prohibition stated in the Braisa? Omar Rabbi Chonin, al tifnu el mi da'atchem. This requires some more explanation. So we look in the Rashi, el mi da'atchem. El is a God form, asher atem oisim midas levavchem, something that you make, that you declare on your own. V'chalal shelachem, and the word halal means from your own inner thoughts. Your halal literally is a hollow or a chamber. It's, in this case, one's inner chambers, inner thoughts. Elilim is Loshon Halolim. The Aleph and the Ches interchange. So from the word Elilim in the Pasuk, you get the word Halolim, which means one's inner thoughts, inner chambers. So statues and the like represent something that a man forms on his own, and that's what we're associating with this Al Tifnu Elilim to this particular prohibition. More needs to be said on this topic on a halachic level, but in the context of our shiur, we're not going to continue with that. However, we do note that the Ein Mishpat in Os Yud Ches on the side tells you to look in the Rambam Perek Zayin. Correction. In Os Yud Zayin, Perek Sheni of Hilchos Avodah Zarah, one can see more on this over there. So here, as far as the Isser of gazing upon different types of statues and images, so there needs, as we say, we have to, more needs to be said on that topic, but we will continue anyway. Mephis Adam im Bonav v'chulei. Mephis comes from pious. It has to do with drawing lots. And we saw in our Mishnah at the bottom of the previous Omid that a person can have his family members draw lots, which will then show what portion each one would get. It's safe to assume that we're dealing with a situation where you don't have uniform portions, hence there is, let's say, significance or meaning in the result that each lot will provide. So our Gemara now infers from the fact that the Mishnah featured a person doing this practice with his family members, in Bonovim Bnei Beisoin, with his sons and other family members, yes, v'im acher lo, but with outsiders, with others, no. My taimo. And when we say with outsiders, let's just assume that we're we're talking about a group of people that are eating some type, let's say, communal meal together. And in a case like that, so one is not to draw lots to determine which portion which person gets. So why not? Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Amar Yehuda Amar Shmuel. B'nei Chabura Hamakpidim Ze Al Ze. A group of people that are makpid one on the other. That means they are not, they are, let's say, they're not forgiving one to the other. In other words, each person is insistent on their getting an accurate, a fair portion. And if a person in this situation gets any less than he thinks he deserves, he will not be forgiving. So that's the B'nei Chabur HaMakpidim Zalze, Oivrin Mishul Mido, Mishul Mishkol, Mishul Minyon, Mishul Lovin Uporin B'Yom Tov. And the Gemara continues on the top of the next Omid, Ushadivrei Hillel Af Mishum Ribis. The Gemara here is rather terse, and it's really alluding to other sugyos in the Shas. But let's try to just touch on it for a moment, just to get a feeling of what the problem here is. In business dealings, when you go to a shop and you order a pound of, let's say, a pound of meat or a pound of nuts, and the store owner, he cheats you out a little bit. Instead of giving you a full pound, he gives you a pound minus a quarter of an ounce. Well, that happens to be, in Jewish law, that is prohibited. When it comes to things that are measured, whether it be in terms of, let's say, length of something, buying a length of cloth, or things measured out by mishkal, or weights, or things that are itemized by number, you buy a dozen eggs, you don't expect to get 11 eggs. If there's any deviation from what is expected, then there is that it's considered a form of theft. It's under the general heading of theft, we'll say, and that is very true when it comes to business dealings. What about when it comes to people sitting around eating a communal meal where things aren't actually weighed out ounce by ounce, but people who are not forgiving? In fact, that's what Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel is telling me. It's like the violation of measures, Mida, Mishkal, and Minyan. Another problem arises is that if people are makpidim zalza, they're not forgiving, so then they can also come to violate the prohibition of lovenu porim b'yomtov, of borrowing and paying back on yomtov. We touched on this in a previous daf, the problem of yomtov borrowing. And they can also come to a problem of ribis, of interest, where if you have people that are not forgiving, so that when you borrow, let's say, a cup of sugar from the neighbor, and you then return the cup of sugar a few days later, there might be a minor price variation, but since you're makbid, so then the slightly added value would be as if you're collecting interest on it, because you gave a cup of sugar worth a dollar, and you're getting back this one cup of sugar worth $1.10. So that the general emotion that the Gemara is conveying over here is that people who are makbid one on the other, there are all kinds of different halachic problems that could arise. So that when it comes to, let's say, drawing lots to determine who gets what portion, some portions are larger, some portions are smaller, don't do that when you're dealing with B'nai Chabura, with people other than with one's own family. The Gemara asks, well, Ihachi Banov Uvnei Beison Ami. Well, if it comes to if there are all kinds of problems that can arise because of people that are very concerned with the minor deviations, then why is there an allowance to draw lots to determine portions when within one's own family? The Gemara answers, "Bono v'vnei beiso hainu taimo." Within the context of one's own family, the following is the explanation. Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, based on the teaching of Rav. The Omer Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Mutur lahalvois bonov uvnei beiso beribis kidei lahat imon tam ribis. It's mutter for a father to loan items to his family members, to his children, and then expect them to pay him back more for educational purposes so that they get a feeling of the pain involved in paying interest. Now, well, why is such a thing mutter? So Rashi explains very simply, because whatever a father owns and he gives to his children, and whatever the children are going to be giving back is considered owned by the father as well. Once they're samuch al shulchano, we call them in English dependents. So even if they, let's say, they have a lemonade stand or they sell newspapers, nevertheless their income belongs to the father. So it's not a real case of interest, but the feeling is nevertheless conveyed. The Gemara asks, "Well, I hachi mona gedoyla keneged mona ketanon ami." If this is so, then even a large portion for one and a small portion for the other should be allowed. The Gemara says, "In hachinami." In fact, that is allowed. V'chisurei mechaser v'hachi katani. Now, we didn't explain, but when you look at the Mishnah, so one might have thought not so, because the Mishnah said, if you read the Mishnah as it appears, it says a person can have lots drawn within the context of his family. And the Mishnah said the second line from the bottom, "Uvashli iskav nasis monik dolu keneged monik tana," provided the portions are equal. But if within a family context one is allowed to convey the ribbis feelings, so one should be allowed to also convey the feelings of loss experienced when one gets a large portion and the other gets a small portion. So the Gemara says, you're right. In hachinami v'chisurei mechaser v'hachi katani, and the Mishnah is abbreviated and it really should be understood thusly. And that's why we have a frame around the next two lines showing this is the way the Mishnah should be understood. Meifis adam ibanav imeiso ala shulchan. A person can have lots drawn within the context of his own family. Afilu mona gedolo keneged mona ketana. Even a large portion for one and a small portion for the other. My time, why is that allowed? Kidarav yudam arav. As Rav Yudah Marav taught, we just had that just a couple lines above, which was to give the feeling of the, in the case above we saw a ribbis, and in this case the feeling of loss. So it's a type of training that a father is allowed to do, so as to, in this particular case, it's probably a type of experience to get around, to overcome feelings of jealousy, where you see you get a small portion and your brother got a large portion. Learn how to overcome that. We continue in the Gemara, again with an inference. Im bonov vim b'nei beso in, im achirim lo. The drawing of lots, and one getting a large portion and the other getting a small portion, that's allowed within the context of your family, but not with others. My taimo, why not? What's the halachic problem in a case of, people pooling together their funds, everyone giving the same amount, and then when it comes to the distribution of those funds, we're saying one cannot have lots drawn where one would get a large portion and the other a small portion. What's the problem? The answer to that is, Kidarav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Now, we had that before. Since they're makbid one on the other, so they are not forgiving. And as a result of that, you get involved with all the problems we mentioned earlier of Midah, Mishkal, and Minyan. The Gemara continues and says, Mona Gedoyla, Keneged Mona Ketana, Af B'chul La'achirim Osir. This is a prohibition even on weekdays when you're dealing with outsiders. My time, what's the prohibition in such an activity? Mishum kuvya. Kuvya might be something like dice, but for our purposes, it comes under the general heading of gambling. Rashi explains, and there's a very important halachic term that we'll see in the Rashi, asmachta. And now, let's try to understand the situation. So we gave a bit of an example just a moment before of people, let's say, that pooled their funds together. Everyone paid a fixed amount of money, a set equal amount of money to buy portions of food, and then they would sit down with their prepared food and then draw lots. One will get a larger portion and the other getting a smaller portion. What's the problem in that? So the one says it's a problem of kuvya. Let's glance at the Rashi. Mishum kuvya, de gezelhu. It's a form of theft. De asmachta lo kanya. Arrangements that are based on what's called asmachta is not effective. Lo kanya means it's not binding. This is an example of asmachta. We still haven't defined the word. So now Rashi explains. Asmachta comes from the word reliance. The samich al hagorol. A person is relying on the lot. Im yipol gorol amona gedola eske ba. He's hoping that he will draw a lot, giving him a large portion. Ulefikach tolo atzmo af the gorol haktana lasafik. And thinking that he was going to get the large portion, so he was willing to take the risk that he might get the small portion. The ilu yodea mitchino shekain. If had he known at the outset that he would get the smaller portion, lo hoya misratze, so he would not have agreed. So that in such a case where one person gets a large portion and the other gets a small portion, the person getting the large portion, in effect, is getting something that the person who just got the small portion is not agreeing to. He's not acquiescing to this loss in favor of the fellow that wins. So that by my getting the large portion, I'm holding on to something that is not really coming to me. And we call that, in very simple terms, gezel. Continuing in the Gemara, Matilin Chaloshin al Hakotshim Biyomtov Avalo al Hamonos. The Mishnah spoke about drawing lots regarding sacrificial portions on Yomtov, but not on Monos. My Avalo al Monos, what is meant by that? So we have, you notice a triangle that appears here. This is because we have two Mamros of Rav Yankov Breid de Bas Yankov that appear in the Gemara. The first Memra is in the answer to our question, what does it mean, Avolo Amonos? So, Amar Rav Yankov Breid de Bas Yankov, Avolo al Hamonos Shochol be Yontov. Monos Shochol are sacrificial portions from sacrifices offered before Yom Tov. There are sacrifices that have, a two-day, we could say two-day longevity. It means the amount of time that you're allowed to eat that particular sacrifice, something like a Korban Shlomim. You have 2 days and an intervening night to eat it, so you can have a situation where this Korban was offered on the day before Yom Tov, and now the meat is still around on Yom Tov and it's being distributed. So we're saying not to draw lots to determine who gets what portion of the weekday sacrifice on Yom Tov. The Gemara asks, Pshita, that's obvious. In other words, a Yom Tov is a time for dealing with Yom Tov related matters, but to use Yom Tov for the distribution of something that could have been determined the day before, that's not right. So, why does the Mishnah have to tell me something that I could have figured on my own? So the Gemara answers, Ma'al detayma hoiluk siv. Without the Mishnah, I would have figured, since the Pasuk says, V'amcha kimrivei kayin. The Pasuk describes the nation being like Kohanim who argue with one another, strive with one another. So when it comes to sacrificial distribution, it was characterized by strife. So as to avoid the strife, I might have thought afilu monos dechil nami, that by drawing lots, and in determining who gets what portion, that will ameliorate the strifeful situation. So I would have thought maybe that's allowed on Yom Tov, even though we're dealing with the distribution of weekday sacrifices. Kamash Malan, the Mishnah tells me that even though it's a worthy, we'll say a worthy cause and a worthy thought, we're not going to allow it. The Omer of Yaakov, Brei Debas Yaakov. Now we have another statement of his. Kol Shechaveru Nena Shayado Ein Machnisin Oisei B'Mechitzasa Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is a very painful, fact, that if I am the cause of someone else getting punished, then I, the person who is responsible for that happening, will not be accepted into the inner sanctum, into the in Olam Haba, the Mechitzasa, within the precinct of the Almighty. What we're describing, in effect, is someone that didn't do anything wrong per se. It's just that as a result of someone else getting punished because of me, so the person who didn't do something actually wrong will also suffer. What this statement then teaches is how much one has to be very, very careful in anticipating moves, in anticipating future activity, so as to avoid. It's almost like living life as a chess game, where you have to anticipate a couple moves ahead so that a person shouldn't suffer as a result of you. Where do we learn this? Minolam, where do we learn this from? So on the side of the Gemara, you'll notice we featured this as our topic heading, and under that, the Mivneh, the structural note, we featured diamonds numbered 1 through 3, and these are Nisyonos Limtso Mokor Lanal. We're going to go through attempts, and this takes us down through most of the narrow lines of the Gemara. You can scan ahead and see the diamonds. Where do we learn this principle from? The first attempt takes quite a few lines, and that's why we have a long marking where we've written to the side of more Elema with the vertical dashed line. So the question once again is, from where do we know this idea? So the Gemara continues, Elema Mishum Dichtiv. If it's because of that which we see in the in the upcoming pasuk, we're going to have a very long pasuk quote here. It lasts a couple of lines, and just a little bit of background is very helpful here. We're talking about a period of time in the first Beis Hamikdash era, the time of the king of Ahav. Ahav was one of the kings of the northern kingdom of Israel, and there were the section of Gemara describes an impending battle. And Ahav was a king that is portrayed as a rush, as a wicked, an evil individual. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu had it coming for him, a punishment. The punishment for Ahav would be his eventual downfall in a battle with Aram. And the issue here is, how can we convince Ahav to enter that battle in which he will eventually fall? So, Ahav, during his lifetime, had a very negative encounter with a gentleman by the name of Novos. Novos was a relative of Ahav that owned a vineyard. And this Novos didn't want to acquiesce to Ahav's request to have the vineyard given over, transferred, or taken over by Ahav. As a result, Ahav's wife, Izebel, or Jezebel, or Isabella, however you want to refer to her, she convinced Ahav to kill this Novos, cousin of his. And we will see in this section of Gemara the spirit of Novos. This is a very, of course, a Gemara dealing, this, the Psukim will deal with things that are very ethereal, if you will, the thing with spirits and how they get involved with what takes place in this world. So the spirit of Novos enters the picture and causes, he offers his services, this spirit offers his services to the Almighty, that he, the spirit, will enter Ahav and convince him to go into this battle, which we said will eventually lead to his demise. So that this spirit is going to be the cause of Ahav's downfall. That is the tie-in to our sugya. So that, and then we will see in this discussion that the spirit suffers. The spirit then experiences a setback. And the setback is quite explicitly where the spirit is no longer allowed to enter the mechitza, the inner precinct, the inner sanctum in heaven. That is all the attempt the Gemara is going to make now. Dichtiv. So we look in the Gemara, Vayomer Hashem, Mi Yifates Ahav, V'yal V'yipol B'romos Gilad. HaKadosh Baruch, the Almighty, says, who will seduce Ahav, that he should go up and into this battle that we described, and eventually fall there, in a place called Ramos Gilad. Vayomer Zeh B'cho, V'zeh Omer B'cho, all kinds of different forces were saying, each one had its own plan. Vayetzei HaRuach, Vayamo Lifnei Hashem, and then the spirit we mentioned of Novos entered, stood in front of the Almighty. Vayomer ani afatenu, I will seduce him. Vayomer etzei voisi ruach sheker b'fi kol neviyov. The spirit said, I will then be a source of falseness in the mouths of all of his prophets or his advisors, and through my intervention, so his advisors, the Ahav's advisors, will tell him to go into battle, in which he will fall. Vayomer, and the Almighty says, Tefateh, go right ahead. Go seduce him, or seduce them, V'gam tuchal, and you will be successful. Tsei v'asei kein. It seems to be a bit redundant. Tsei v'asei kein, go and do it. V'aminer mai ruach, and what do we mean by ruach? Amar b'yochanan zeh rucho shel Novos. This is a reference to the spirit of Novos, the person that Ahav killed. My say, we said that seemed a bit redundant. So what does that mean? That's Omar Rav say mimichitzasi. Notice we've not underlined this because this is the point that this ruach will cause the oynish to befall Ahav, but it will be cast out of the mechitza of the Almighty. The Gemara says this is not a good proof. So here we wrote above Dechiyah. This is a rejection. The Dilmo Osam, it could be that over there with the spirit of Novos, the reason for the Yitzia Mimichitzasi, the exit or the casting away, or casting out of the inner sanctum, is Hainu Taimo. Dechtiv, it's for a difference, for this reason, meaning a different reason than the teaching of Yankov Brei de Bas Yankov that we saw above. It's because Dechtiv Doiver Shkorim Lo Yikon, the speakers of falsehoods will not be established in front of me. In other words, there's a special punishment for people that are liars, for lying forces. And you notice with our markings, we dashed underline shkarim. This is to enable you to tie this into the previous dashed underline sheker, where that's the reason, so that it's because of falsehood that the spirit is cast out, and not because of kol shechaveru ne'enash al yodo that Rav Yankov spoke about above. So where do we see a basis for Rav Yankov's teaching of if I cause someone else's stumbling or someone else's punishment, I will suffer? Elo mehocha. From the following. We're going to quote a pasuk from Chavakuk, and the Gemara then will break the pasuk into a couple of parts, and the Gemara will tell us that the pasuk is referring to the king Nebuchadnezzar and his encounter with Tzidkio, which was a king of the Jewish people at the end of the first temple period. Nebuchadnezzar is infamous for his role in the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And the Gemara will attempt to show that through the pasuk that that Tzidkiyahu was responsible for the embarrassment, if you will, or the setback of Nebuchadnezzar, and as a result, the pasuk seems to equate Tzidkiyahu with Nebuchadnezzar, showing us the idea of Kol Shechaver Nena Sheyado is a machnisin oiso machisah Shekodesh Baruch Hu. Let's see how things work out in the Gemara. So we're at attempt number two. Elo mehocha savata kolon mikavod shisei gam ato vehe oreal. The Gemara now breaks this pasuk down. Savata kolon mikavod. That means you've become sated by shame instead of honor. Ze Nebuchadnezzar. What's the shame, so to speak? So we look in the Rashi. Rashi is based on that which we will see later in the Gemara itself, but here it's important to see the Rashi. Rashi, Savata Kol, a little more than halfway down the Rashi column. B'Nevuchadnezzar Mishtoi. This pasuk is talking about King Nebuchadnezzar Shoyamatil Mishkav Zohar Al Hamlochim. He was a world conqueror, so that he was also a practitioner of the same gender intimacy called Mishkav Zohar, homosexuality, and he would practice that with vanquished kings. Ukshigia Yomo Shitio, he conquered Israel as well, and when the day of Tzidkiyo came, Nimshichor Losu Shosh Meas Amo, Vinus Savata Kol, some very embarrassing thing happened to Nebuchadnezzar where his male organ of gender elongated tremendously, causing him great embarrassment. So the pasuk that we just read, Salvati, you've been sated through sated by shame instead of honor, that is Nebuchadnezzar. The Gemara continues, the next section of the pasuk, Shisei Gam Atov Oreil, you too drink together with the uncircumcised, Ze Tzidkiyo. So, as we saw in the Rashi, the embarrassment of Nebuchadnezzar came about through his attempt to come on Tzidkiyo. As a result of that, so we say that we saw that Nebuchadnezzar was greatly shamed, and in this pasuk it says, "You too shall drink together with him." And there's an equation made between Tzidkiyo, who was seemingly quite innocent, but he was responsible for the shame brought upon Nebuchadnezzar, and the subsequent equation between the two is here to illustrate that which Rav Yaakov taught above. The Gemara now rejects this. Chada, point number one, the Kulei Krav Nebuchadnezzar Ksiv. The whole pasuk that we just read is regarding Nebuchadnezzar. In other words, there's no reference in the pasuk at all to Tzidkiyo. In other words, what we thought before was the proof that Tzidkiyo is equated with him. That's not the case because there's no allusion to him. We look in the Rashi, Chada Dekulei Krav Nebuchadnezzar Ksiv, Shapir Motzis Le'uk Mikulei B'Nebuchadnezzar. The pasuk that we read can be established completely with regard to Nebuchadnezzar, V'Hochi K'omar, and thusly it reads, Shesei Gam Ato Ke'oisom She'isom Mak Le'oison V'Orel V'His'arel V'His'gane. Meaning, just like you caused those others, your victims, shame, you, Nebuchadnezzar, will also be shamed. Going back into the Gemara, so that represents the first point of refutation to the second suggestion we saw. And we continue at the end of the line, number two, V'oid Tzidkiyo Tzadiko Mahavalei Lemevadlei. Tzidkiyo is totally, we said before that you have to play a game of chess, so to speak, and you got to anticipate moves ahead of time, and if you don't, that's why if someone else stumbles as a result of you, so you deserve also a form of punishment. But in this case, Sikyo had no options. What could he possibly have done? The Amar of Yehuda Marav, B'shal Shabikesh Oysa Rosh Elasus Losa Tzadikach V'chule. This statement appears later in the Gemara, and we have a little arrow drawing your attention downwards to what is being referred to over here. But it's, as we saw before in the Rashi, Tzidko was a vanquished, he was a victim, and he was under duress, and that's what the Gemara here is saying. What could he possibly have done, this Tzidko? So why, he is in no way deserving of a punishment. We continue in the Gemara, so we're still looking for a source for Rav Yankiv Gradibus Yankiv's teaching that anyone who is responsible for the next person's downfall is also worthy of punishment. Elo me'ocha. Gam anosh latzadik loy toiv. This pasuk says that anosh is punishment, latzadik, meaning for a tzadik, for a righteous person to bring on punishment to someone else, is called loy toiv. And the Gemara continues, ein loy toiv elo ra. When you say something is not good, it means it's bad. Uksiv, and there's another pasuk that says, Ki lo keil chofetz resha oto lo yegurcho ra. And we explain by reading on in the Gemara, Tzadikato Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu represents righteousness, the lo yegurcho b'megurcho ra. And we dashed underline this. It means that which is classified as ra is not going to yogur, is dwell in your midst. And that's what we meant before, that it will be outside the mechitzasa shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, outside the Almighty's precinct. So we found a source, Gam Anush Latzadik Lo Tov, as the basis for Rav Yankiv Gradibus Yankiv's very dramatic teaching. We continue in the Gemara, focusing on a word mentioned in the Mishnah. And you might, since the Mishnah is just, you have to go turn back one daf to the bottom of the previous Omid Beis. It's Kuf Mem Ches Omid Beis. The word Chaloshin appeared. Umatilin Chaloshin ala Kotshin Biyomtov. Chaloshin were lots. Don't confuse this with another word which has the same spelling, meaning weakness, but here it means lots. My mashmadai chaloshim lishno de pura hu. Pura is maybe familiar to many of you from the holiday of Purim. Purim, a lot. So from where do we know that the word chaloshim is associated with lots? Tichtiv. The pasuk says, Ech nofalta mishamayim heileil ben shachar, Nigdata la'aretz choleish al goyim. This pasuk is referring to King Nebuchadnezzar, who was a mighty king but had a tremendous downfall in his time. And it describes Nebuchadnezzar as someone who would choleish al goyim. That means he was able to draw lots to determine the destiny of many nations. The main point for us is that you see in this word, in this pasuk, the word cholesh, and it has to do with, as we just said, the drawing of lots. So it was in his hands to determine the destiny of different nations. Omar, Rabo, Barbar, Huvana, we explain what we mean by the lots. Malami Shri Amatil Pur al Gedole Malchus, Nebuchadnezzar would draw lots regarding the leaders of all these different nations that he conquered, Leidaizo ben Yomosh Mishkav Zohar, which day, which person would be his partner in this same gender intimacy? Uksiv Kol Malchei Goyim Kulam Shachvu B'Chavod Ish B'Veso. Omer Rabbi Yochanan Shenochu MiMishkav Zohar. That means that after the downfall of Nebuchadnezzar, all these leaders were able to now appreciate a sense of rest, a sense of relief and freedom from the disparagement that they were exposed to during the Nebuchadnezzar's realm. Now the shape, this house marking, is explained on the side. as a list of Meimros Shel Rabbi Yochanan Hakshurim Nevuchadnezzar. They have a number of comments of Rabbi Yochanan that are related to Nevuchadnezzar. The Amar Rabbi Yochanan, we continue in the Gemara, Kol Yomov Shel Oysa Rosha, all the days of Nevuchadnezzar's regime, Lo Nimtza Schoik Befeh Kol Bria. No person had any sense of schok, of joy. It was a very sorrowful, mournful period of time. Shenemar nocha shokto kol aretz potsurina. This pasuk is related to the downfall of Nebuchadnezzar, where it says that the entire world was now peaceful and broke out in joy. Mechlau da adhash lo havarina. We infer then that up till now there was no joy. The Amar Rabbi Yitzchok, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, also lama beveses shel also Russia. Rabbi Yochanan says it's also to stand in the house, in the palace of that wicked man of Nebuchadnezzar. Shnemar usiirim yarakdu sham. And it says, it's the pasuk says the demons will dance over there. It's a place of demon habitation and not men. Therefore, it's usur to stand there. The Amar of Yehuda Amar Rav, at this point in the Gemara, we have a new marking. The bow tie, and on the side, we feature the bow tie as Meimros Shel Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, statements that have his name in common. So he tells us, B'shal Shabikash Eisur Rosh Alasis Loisur Tzadik Kach, when Osa Rosha, that wicked man, Nebuchadnezzar, wanted to do the Osa Tzadik, that's Tzidkiyoso, wanted to engage in the same gender intimacy, Nimshecha Oloso, the organ of gender of Nebuchadnezzar, elongated Shlosh Meis Amo, 300 Amos long voice of Machzeres, I'll call him Masiba Kula, and it, with the description here, it's quite vivid. It seems that it had this like serpent-like approach. It started to circulate amongst all the assembled. Shenemar Sovata Kolo Mikavod Shesei Gam Ato Vehe Orel. The word Orel, the gematria, the number value of the word Orel, Shlosh Meis Havi, it equals 300. The Ayin is 70 in value, the Resh is 200, and the Lamed is another 30, giving you a total of 300, and that's the reference to the 300 long organ. The Omer of Yudam Arav, Bishal Shiyarad Osa Rosha Legehenim, when Osa Rosha, that's again Nebuchadnezzar, descended to purgatory, Rosh Ukoyar Legehenim, all the inhabitants of purgatory, and you can imagine the community of purgatory are those people that aren't the most pious of individuals. Even so, when they saw the new inhabitant arriving, they became very upset. Rashu means they started to tremble. Omru, and they declared, Shemo Limshol Aleim Huba O Licholos Kemosim Huba. Is he coming here to rule over us, over here, or to suffer along with us? Shenemar, the pasuk regarding the Yorde Gehenim, those that descended to Gehenim, it says, Gam, we should point out, by the way, that this is from Yeshaya, Perek Yudalid, this is pasuk Yud, we saw before Yeshaya Perek Yudalid was cited when dealing with the downfall of Nebuchadnezzar. So in that context, we see the pasuk says, "Gam ata chuleso kamonu eleinu nimshalta." It describing in the context of purgatory, you too are coming down to be chuleso, like weak or sick with us, or to rule over us. Yotza basko v'yomra, a heavenly voice came out and announced, Mimi no amto rida v'hoshkiva es arelim. We look at Rashi, no amto sovur atolios benoam mino achirim. You think that you're going to, you thought that you are going to be better off than the others? Not so. We continue with another pasuk again from Yeshaya Perek Yudalid. Ech shavas noges shavsa madheva. Omer v'yudom arav, shavsa Umo Zu. Shafsa means it came to, it ceased to be destroyed. This nation, Sha'omra, that used to say, continuing at the top of Daf Kuf Nun Amar Aleph, the word Madheva is broken into Midod Vehave. The Ikar Diamri, another version of Madheva, is Shamra Ma'od Ma'od Havi below Midah. This is a reference to Nebuchadnezzar and his Babylonian regime that was a very oppressive power that is now Shafsa. Now is coming this the Pasuk said Ech Shavas Noges, the oppressful power is now coming to cease to be a force, but it's the nation that was Madheva that used to Medod Vahavei. Rashi says at the top of Kuf Nun, Medod is to measure Mois V'din Reza Vahavei. They would plunder people, going from place to place, measuring out the different wealth and gold and collecting it. Another version, V'ikod Diamri, the other version is Madheva is made of the words Ma'od Ma'od Havi below Mida. Just bring everything you've got without any measuring out. Seems to be a more inclusive form of plundering. Pasuk in Daniel says, Urevu Yatira Husafas Li. Amar Vira Amar Yirmiya Melamed Sherocha Valari Zohar V'kosher Tanin Barosho. In the time of Nebuchadnezzar, during his lifetime, there was a period at which he had experienced a downfall and then a subsequent rising. Rashi makes reference to this. La'achar shoyesh zayin shonim behema, he had become beast-like for 7 years. V'chozer l'muchus, so he then was restored to his throne. Hoymishtabeach came. He used to pride himself. Umar Tusefis, what was the pride that he announced? Shekosher tanim godol nochosh godol baroshes shalari kamin afzor. He tied a serpent as a reins around the neck of a lion and rode it. That's what the Gemara says. Malamit shirocha valari zohar. This pasuk is describing his pride that he boasted in that he rode a male lion and kosher tanim barosho and tied a serpent around its head, the lion's head. L'kayim ashenemar to be a fulfillment of the pasuk that is in the context of Nebuchadnezzar, which says Vigam es chayas hasodah nasati lo le'avdo, and I gave him, or as the Almighty gave to Nebuchadnezzar, the chayas hasodah, the wild animals of the fields, to him, to serve him. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.